Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As we begin our series this year and focus in on those crucial hours, we focus our attention on this one verse from Matthew chapter 26. We read verse 18. Jesus said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. In the name of our precious Lord and Savior, my dear fellow redeemed, those who rejoice tonight in the forgiveness that comes from Christ. Crucial is a word that you don't take lightly. If something is crucial, that means you need to get it done. This is something that has to take place. And so if you are busy applying for the job and you are told it is crucial for you to get this application in, you're probably not going to wait until next week. If you really want to get into that college and you really want to get into that program and they say it's crucial that you get your financial aid information in, you're probably not going to say, I'll get around to it. It's crucial, not just important, although it might be, not just urgent, although I suppose it is. It's crucial. This is something that has to happen and must be done if you want to reach your goal. So you and I are going to focus our attention on some crucial hours. Hours that have to be endured. Hours that cannot be put off and saved for later. Crucial hours that you and I can't do. There are some things that need to happen. There are some things that have to take place if you and I are going to go into the glories of heaven, but we can't do it. It's crucial that Jesus does. And so we marvel this evening at the little phrase that Jesus speaks. I will keep the Passover. It's crucial, more than urgent, more than important, that this would be done. And so, Jesus does. He keeps the Passover. The Passover, of course, was that annual event, that one time a year when everybody was supposed to make it into Jerusalem, when you would sit down and be reminded again of what took place. The Passover got its name not because of what the angel of death did to Egypt, but because of what the angel of death didn't do to Israel. Perhaps you remember the setting. It was the 10th plague. The other 9 had not broken Pharaoh's will yet, had not broken the back of Egypt. Even though there were little hints that perhaps they were getting ready to let Israel go, they hadn't done it yet. So now comes one more plague. And that's the one that broke his will. All the firstborn of Egypt were going to die, from Pharaoh's all the way down to the lowest slave, even of the animals. Unless you sacrificed the Passover lamb. Unless you sacrificed that lamb and you took its blood and you painted your doorframe. On that night, the angel of death went up and down the streets of Egypt, and there was no place that didn't have crying and wailing, except for in Israel. Because as soon as that angel of death saw the blood of that lamb, that innocent lamb, that unblemished lamb, that didn't have to die, it didn't do anything wrong. But when he saw that blood, he passed over that house, and no death came. Every year the Jews got together and they rejoiced in that amazing deliverance that had taken place. Every year they kept that Passover and they did what God had to say. And so now Jesus says, I'm going to keep the Passover. Everybody was keeping the Passover. Well, maybe not everybody. Maybe there were some who stayed home, decided not to make the trek after all. We were there last year. Same stuff. Same thing. Already did that. Maybe there were some who said, well, we're not going to do everything that goes along with this Passover celebration. We'll hit the high points. We'll make sure we get the important stuff done, but we're not going to worry ourselves by trifling over these other little details that might go along with it. We know that there were some who were very interested in making sure they did every last thing that that Passover celebration said needed to be done. And they were making sure that everything was done absolutely perfectly so that they could look good to everybody else who was around them. We know that's the fact because they wouldn't even go into Pilate's palace. They didn't want to come into contact with the Gentiles, and they didn't want to become unclean. They wanted to celebrate the Passover. So outwardly, they're doing fine. But in their hearts, they're not all that interested in the Passover. They're still trying to figure out how to get rid of this Jesus, so he doesn't cause them problems anymore. And maybe some just were distracted. Then there's stuff going on. There's things that need to be done. Business has to be taken care of. We'll get to it later. As you and I think about this idea that Jesus keeps the Passover, as insignificant or as simple as that might seem, you cannot help but think about how do we worship our Lord? How do we keep Lent or a Sunday or a Wednesday evening? All of the things that we were just kind of wondering about, perhaps some of those people who were celebrating and keeping the Passover a little bit less than perfectly, most of those are just guesses. But I think they're pretty good guesses because you and I know our own heart. How many times don't we go into a Lenten season and perhaps we think to ourselves, I've heard all this before. I know how this is going to go. Yeah, I'll be here Ash Wednesday. It's kind of new and it's kind of exciting and that's kind of the big one. But, you know, third week, fourth week, fifth week, I know where this is going. Maybe we're not all that interested in focusing on everything that Jesus has done. We kind of remember the main highlight points and let's move on. Besides, there's things to do. School's still going on. There's still evening activities taking place. There are things that are happening. I'm busy. Got stuff going on. Besides that, this is now twice a week. I was here last Sunday. Well, maybe it was the Sunday before or last month. I'll get there. Eventually. What if Jesus had done that? What if Jesus had said, I know what the Passover is all about. I'm the one that gave it to you. I don't have to go through this. What if Jesus is the one that says, you think you're distracted? I know what's coming. I know what's going to be happening. This is Monday, Thursday evening. I know what's happening later on tonight and tomorrow and the next day. Maybe I should just skip all of this and go hide someplace. You and I are so thankful on this evening, especially when we are reminded of how often we fail to do what our Lord and our God wants to do. We kind of focused our attention in on that third commandment with all those examples when we worship. And if the announcement of Christ's forgiveness, if the announcement that Jesus is the one who stepped in and took our place and sets you free isn't enough to make us want to worship Him and keep that third commandment, what about the rest of them? I'm not going to put God first if I'm not even going to be interested in worshiping Him. I'm not going to use His name the way He wants it to be if I don't care what He has to say. Why would I listen to the representatives He places on this earth? Why would I care about my life or anybody else's? Why should I work at my marriage and family? Why not make all the things of this world my own little stash of idols to make me happy? Why should I care about my reputation or anybody else's? Why should I worry about what has been given to somebody else and I wish it had been given to me? You and I are thankful this evening when we are reminded of how far short we fall that Jesus kept the Passover. He did it. And as minor as that seems, it's part of His plan reminding us that He didn't just keep the Passover perfectly, He kept everything perfectly. The things that you and I couldn't do, the things that you and I didn't do, the things that you and I refused to do, He did. He stepped into this world and He did it all perfectly. He actively obeyed His Heavenly Father from one step to the next, from conception to His death. Everything is exactly the way it was supposed to be. I will keep the Passover, Jesus says, and He did. He was that perfect living substitute for you and for me. Jesus kept the Passover. And as we think about that, we can also say, Jesus kept the Passover. Not just going through the motions, not just doing the process that needed to be done, but He kept the Passover. Every year they had an opportunity to get together, and the Passover allowed them to look back. To look back at how God in His amazing grace and love acted on behalf of His people. An opportunity to look back and to see how God used that spotless, unblemished lamb to set His people free and secure an amazing deliverance. So amazing that they were celebrating it year after year after year. But as the Passover allowed them to look back at that amazing deliverance, it also allowed them to look forward to an even greater deliverance. Looking forward to another spotless, unblemished, perfect sacrifice. John the Baptist said it, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." We just heard Paul say, God made Him who didn't even know what sin was to be sin for us. Because of that amazing sacrifice of Christ, Nathan could say to David, "You are forgiven, you are not going to die." Jesus did it. He is that Passover lamb. It was His blood that was poured out on the wood of that cross. And now your Heavenly Father sees that blood and His anger passes over you. You're not going to die eternally. You're not going to be wiped from His presence. The only thing wiped from His presence is your sin. He sees it no more. Because Jesus is perfect. He lived perfectly and He died perfectly. Your sin and the sin of the world was put onto His shoulders. And there He paid for it completely, totally, nothing left. And now you and I gather during these Lenten seasons and we rejoice in these crucial hours, these things that Jesus simply had to do. And rejoice in the fact that Lent allows us to look back. Allows us to look back and see again this amazing sacrifice of our Lord and our Savior. To marvel at this amazing deliverance that took place on Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, Easter Sunday. We follow our Savior to that cross and we see the full extent of His love as He is willing to give up everything, including His life, for you and for me. And because we get to look back, that means Lent allows us to look forward. We get to look forward to see what these crucial hours that Jesus spent for you and for me accomplished. You and I know we get to look forward, and no matter what may be the next hour or the next day or week or however many years God gives to you and to me, we know that this Savior, who was so in tune with us and so invested in us that He was willing to live and die and rise again, will make sure that He will carry you through and carry you home. It's crucial. Not just important. Not just urgent. But crucial. If you're going to heaven, this has to take place. It did. He did it all. Perfectly. So you know what's coming. Because of these crucial hours, you will be with your Savior forever. Amen.